In whatever you do, the Bible says, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. We're going to be spending a bunch of time in 1 Corinthians today. And it says in 1 Corinthians, just a couple of chapters earlier, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So I want to say from the outset that the things that you're good at and the things that God gifts to you, those are two different categories, all of these things should work in complementary fashion with each other. Individual personal talents should work in complement with our spiritual gifts. 2 Peter 1:5 says that we are to supplement our faith. In other words, using all that God gives us, we are to add to what God has already given us in our faith to work with him, not against him. We're not supposed to use our talents against the things of God. And it's very easy to do that. If you're a charming person, you can use that for selfish reasons. If you know how to make money and you are cutthroat about it, you can go an unethical route to make a buck. There are all kinds of talents that people have, and they've got kind of a dark side to them when they are used selfishly. The Bible says that whatever you do, whether it is a spiritual gift or whether it is a human talent, do it all for the glory of God. Who we are supposed to be all parts complementing one another and complementing what God has been doing in our lives. And so I've got to push that to you because this is an area of character. Are you using all that you have, all that you do, all that you make, all that you are, all that is the substance of your life, are you using it for the glory of God? And if there are glaring areas that you know in your soul do not reflect the glory of God, how can you bring those into a complementary alignment with what God has done in your life? I think that it's also important that the first thing that we need to remember is that individual personal talents work in complement with spiritual gifts. But the second thing we've got to know is that spiritual gifts illuminate that complementary relationship that exists with all of the Godhead, God, Christ, and Holy Spirit. We're going to be spending some time in 1 Corinthians 12. If you've got your Bibles open, you can flip over to 1 Corinthians 12, probably back just a few pages. And I'm just going to start in verses 4 to 6. This is a classic passage, by the way. Many of you have read this many times, and so I'm going to try to break it down in a way that's super understandable. It should be very, very practical for us this morning. But hopefully I piqued your interest, because talents are different than spiritual gifts. What you're good at, naturally, that you just do in your everyday life, is different than a spiritual gift. I mean, you can use your talents to give God glory, but that even that's different than a spiritual gift. So what am I talking about? There are a variety of gifts, 1 Corinthians 12:4, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but the same God, who empowers them all in everyone. Now, this seems abundantly obvious probably when you're reading, but I just want to note that there is great variety in giftedness, service, and activities. The Apostle Paul, the one that was sent by Jesus to the church to establish it for all people in all places at all times, says there's a variety of gifts, there's a variety of service, there's a variety of activities. This is not meant to set up some sort of strata or that kind of thing. All that Paul is making a point of is what? Hey, there's a great variety to what's going on. However, there is one Spirit, one Lord, that's Jesus Christ, and one God. Do you see what is being woven together here? There's a variety in the church, but it is all held together by the Trinity, by God, Christ, and Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's hard to find passages in the Bible that talk about the Trinity, where all three of them are, you know, active at the same time. And here's one great one right there in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 6. It's kind of like Jesus' baptism when God speaks and Jesus is there and the Holy Spirit descends upon him. It's good to know that the Trinity can be observed, that we see the whole of the Godhead, this wondrous relationship, this wondrous community working together, and it's working together on your behalf for your own giftedness. God has gifted you personally. He is actively involved in the midst of your life. That should blow you away. That should just, I mean, literally, you should be like mind blown. God of universe at work in little old me. You probably don't walk in here feeling spiritually significant. You probably don't walk in the door feeling like, I am a spiritual hero. I have been given a gift that I am to share abundantly by the God of the universe. The government gives you $1 million and tells you you can only keep a part of that if you give most of it away. What do? You give most of it away, right? Because you want to experience the benefit of it. Spiritual gifts are very similar. God has given you an abundant gift. Not just your salvation in Jesus Christ. He has gifted you even beyond that. And because the God of the universe is at work in you, you have been called to give that away to other people. You will benefit from it, but it's not actually for you. It's for others. I say that because of what it just said there in 1 Corinthians 12:4 to 7, that spiritual gifts illuminate this complementary relationship that exists in God, Christ, and Holy Spirit, but that it comes with a purpose. It is to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's talk about what that means. Manifestation. Manifestation, it's the original, in the original language, it's the word phanerosis. I didn't say that right, but it doesn't really matter. The reason I mention it there, you get a little sense that phanera part has got a little bit of like photo or light to it, and you would be right to observe that. It's a disclosure or announcement. It's shining light on something in order to reveal its true quality. It makes something better understood. A proclamation in word or in deed that has been given to you as a gift. In other words, it has been shared with you to share with others. This is what manifestation in this context is talking about. It means that you are given something so that it could shine light on the Spirit. And what do we know the Spirit does? The Spirit reveals all that Jesus Christ spoke to. And what do we know about Jesus Christ? I didn't say anything or do anything that God Himself has not given to me. What you have as a gift from God is an illumination of God Himself, of Christ Himself, of the Spirit Himself in the midst of your life. And when you use it, when you use spiritual giftedness in a way that God has designed, it actually illuminates God for other people. That should be motivating. That should be mind-blowing. To each is given the manifestation, the illumination, the bringing light to something of the Spirit of God for who? The common good. The good of this church. The good of the church. The good of all Christians in all places. Spiritual gifts are specifically provided to Christians so that it would build up the church of God. So that it would build up the church of God. What are you doing with your gift? What are you doing with the gifts that you have been given? Do they illuminate God? Or do you just kind of keep them to yourself? Or even worse, have you just kind of grown tired of the whole thing and decided, you know what, I'm done. I'm packing it up. I give and I give and I give and I give and I'm just done giving. I need to get a little bit. Where does that kind of thing come from in the midst of our lives when it says that God has given to us abundantly for the common good? Well, before I answer that question, I probably should talk about what's actually been given to us. I've been talking about spiritual gifts in kind of this broad sense, and some of you are thinking to yourself, I don't get it. What is a spiritual gift? What are you talking about specifically? Let me get to that. It follows, it's in the next verse, and it follows in the verses that are ahead, starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one person is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and put it into integrated everyday practice. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Knowledge, that which is in the Word of God and is expounded for people. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to know what the source of something really is. To another, various kinds of tongues, the ability to speak in another language. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as He wills. Spiritual gifts are Spirit-led capabilities for building up the mission of the church. Spiritual gifts are Spirit-led capabilities for building up, or in some versions of your Bible, it might even say edification. Edifice, you know, that's like a construction word. It's for the building up of the mission of the church. The church is on a mission, and it is to be built up by these spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, the Bible says, are specific graces. In other words, it is the grace of God shared with you to be shared with other people. It's even the root word that is used in the Scripture has grace in it. It's a grace that is given to someone. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. How abundant is Jesus Christ's gift? It is overwhelming, isn't it? It means that all that you need, all that needs to be provided in whatever situation you find yourself in, is provided spiritually for you and for you to share with other people. Spiritual gifts, then, are specific graces, gracious gifts for the needs of God's church. Graces that are given to you to share with other people. So again, I ask, in your life, are you sharing the grace of God in order to build up His church? A lot of times we emphasize what happens outside of these walls. That's kind of how we want to measure the effectiveness of the mission of the church. However, before we can do what goes on outside of these walls, we have to work at what goes on inside of these walls. And God has given specific gifts so that this body right here can be built up together. And those that come into this family, and believe me, September is one of the big waves around this place, isn't it? Awana starts back up, growth groups are starting back up, school's starting back up. Parents are looking for a little bit more regimented kind of schedule. Some parents are really sad their kids are going to school. Most parents are really excited their kids are going to school. Teachers are despondent that school is starting. All of this is going on all at the same time right around us. And as we progress forward, there's a bunch of parents that don't go to any church anywhere that are going to be walking through the doors of this place. How are you using your gift in this church to build up this body for its mission to reach other people? And I'm not just talking about like going to your neighbor and having a barbecue and reaching out to them and sharing with them about your life as you get to share in their lives. I'm talking about God brings people through our front door. I mean, literally brings people that don't go to any other church. He brings them to our church because they want to drop off their kids and go have a date night. And so He brings them to our church, and they're actually on this campus. I would venture to guess that it is part of our mission to reach folks like this, to love them, and to show them a church that is flourishing and that is thriving. So what do you talk to him about? Is it just about the Dodgers? Is it just about football season? Is it just about the weather? Is it just about school starting? I think one of the toughest things for me is that when I come to this church, it's not to just get into automatic mode. It's to actually pray and to think, God, what do you have for me today? What are you going to show me today? God, I want to be attentive. That when you show me something that you want me to use, a spiritual gift, something that you want to have done, that God, I would be available for that, whatever it is. If it's a homeless person when I'm walking in the building, and I got to tell you, that happens to me all the time, and it's tremendously inconvenient because I'm on a schedule just like you are. And when I see a homeless person, I just want to be like, I want to put on a sour face and just be like, what do you want? It's probably horrible to even admit, but it's true. It's inconvenient for me. When someone just, you know, pops into my office for an hour or two, that's inconvenient for me. But it's only inconvenient when my time schedule is my own. When I am walking in the Spirit of God, I am more prepared for those moments than I am for my regular schedule. And that is who I want to be, more and more and more. Because I don't want to march to my own beat. I want to march to the beat that the Spirit of God is leading me into. Spiritual gifts are those Spirit-led capabilities, and they build up the mission of the church. They're different than your talents. Your talents are meant for other things. This is bringing all of your talents and complementary and using them in a complementary way, but it's also asking God, what, God, do you have for me today? I'm going to listen with your ears. I'm going to see with your eyes. I'm going to speak with your mouth. God, fill me with your Spirit. I want to be your man. I want to be your woman, for those of you that are women, today. This is the way that 1 Corinthians 12:12 to 26 says that God has composed his church. There's a long illustration. Many of you have heard it before. It says, you know, can the eye say to the foot, you know, I am not a foot, and so I don't have to walk around. And how the body would just fall apart if it's like, can you imagine if your foot just decided to leave? That would bum you out. If your eye decided, I don't want to, you know, function like I want to be an ear. And so your eye goes and wanders and tries to be an ear. Like an eye is designed to be an eye and an ear is designed to be an ear. It's a kind of a silly set of illustrations that Paul teases out in 1 Corinthians 12, just to point out these verses right at the end, verses 24 to 26. God has so composed the body to where each part functions individually on its own, but in complement, in conjunction, in unity with all the other parts, so that your body functions properly, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. I want you to see the purpose of spiritual gifts. I want you to see the profound purpose that God has. We live in a world that is screaming at people that the way to be loved is to use this, to drink that, to go here, to be this, to look like that, to trade your future for your now. And when they come and they see the church, whether it's the church that gathers in a home for a growth group or it's the church that gathers together on a Sunday, they're supposed to experience something completely different than all of that. What is it that they are supposed to experience? It is a church that has no division, that the members care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Did you see that? If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice. If you were just out doing something, you know, playing a game, playing with your kids, and you happen to catch your ring finger on something and it tries to tear your hand off, and you're injured, and it was a mistake, a silly mistake, but this happens to you. What does your body tell you? It sends pain signals, doesn't it? Does the rest of your body not suffer just because your hand got hurt? No, your whole body suffers, doesn't it? It doesn't matter how small it is. It could be a hangnail. And your whole body feels it. You know it all the time. Every time you nick it, bump it, twist it, anytime you move in a normal way, you're like, ah! Your whole body kind of functions that way, doesn't it? If you twist your ankle, your whole body is affected by it. It could throw out your back. It could do all kinds of rotten, stinking things to you. Yeah, because if one member of your body suffers, if one part of it suffers, the whole thing is compromised. If one member is honored, if you are feeling really, really great and you're able to perform in just amazing ways, you know, like when a runner is rewarded, do we only award his legs? Do we only award the arm of a pitcher? Do we only award one part of a person? No. The whole person gets the honor. And it is the same here. God has gifted this church in a variety of ways for a variety of activities. And it is for the purpose that you and I would be cared for. Are you suffering? Then this is the best place on earth, God says, for you to be. Are you rejoicing? This is the greatest place on earth for you to be honored. Spiritual gifts are the thing. They are the source that provide authentic refreshment for God's people in His church. Do you want to truly flourish? Do you want to feel God's power? Do you want to feel His grace? Do you want to experience His love? Then do what is anti-instinctual. Serve God in His church with your God-given gracious gifts. Use your spiritual gifts. Use them. And if you don't know what they are, it is like any other gift. You have to try it out to find out whether or not you can use it. So don't just assume, you know what, I'm 6'1", pudgy, bald, kids will hate me, I'm not going to do Awana. Kids will just look at me and be like, ah, terror, and run the other way. Please do not heap on all of those assumptions to discount what God might be calling you into. Whether it be Awana or student ministry, or whether it be serving with a growth group, or whether it be in a multiplicity of other ways, God has given Long Beach Alliance Church a vision for how to care for the interior in order to accomplish the mission that God has for us outside of these walls. But if the hand says, no, I'm not in, what if your foot decides it's going to take a break? I'm just going to go to sleep. You ever try to stand up when your leg fell asleep? Topples you right over, doesn't it? It's just like, whoa, hey, look at that. Please don't hold on to your gift and just decide that you're going to sleep on it. Because if one part suffers, we are all suffering. We have walked through the course of this summer talking about how to be refreshed, and I cannot think of any greater way that Scripture gives us to be refreshed than this. Do you want to flourish? Then use your spiritual gift. My invitation to you and the invitation of Scripture is to get reignited for the sake of using your spiritual gifts in ministry, not for yourself, but for the sake of others. Let's pray. God, we come to you and pray that you yourself would gift us, that you would fill us. I pray this morning creates questions in our minds, curiosities in our heart, that God, we would be We would be so desiring your Spirit in our lives. We'd be so desiring to feel the flourishing of what it means to literally be a conduit for the Spirit of God, that it would move us into places that we've never been before. God, I pray that you yourself would pique the interest of our hearts, that you yourself, the author of our souls, would move in us to be and to experience and to do differently than we've ever done before. God, help us to forget the things that are instinctual to us from this world, and help us to lock in and remember that in every possible situation, you have designed something for the glory of God to be revealed. Make us your men and women that are Spirit-led, that care for one another, that glory and suffer together as a family for the sake of your mission. Our mission, all together, in the name of Jesus, at his judgment seat.